Russia is preparing to strike the UK, probably with conventional weapons, to force a negotiation or go ahead and go to full nuclear war.
But until very recently, no one imagined that the United States or Israel or any country would ever launch nuclear weapons unless nuclear weapons have been launched against them. And that's why for over 80 years, nuclear weapons have basically preserved the peace. And so it's a big change when states start to think about using nuclear weapons in the same way that you would use, say, artillery or bombs or missiles.
For the United States and the West, nuclear weapons at any level, tactical, strategic, EMPs, whatever, are viewed as something that should only be used as a last resort. And even then, very carefully, on an escalation ladder, as they say. With me, I don't care if you start throwing nukes immediately, responsibly.
The reason, though, I'm told, that Donald Trump decided to bomb Iran was that the Israelis said, for the first time, if you don't bomb Iran to take out these deep bunkers, we're going to use nuclear weapons. And they had never threatened that before. And so Trump said, bombing Iran might actually save us from the start of World War III if it keeps the Israelis from using nuclear weapons.
A red line should be drawn right here before Iran completes the second stage of nuclear enrichment.
People never believe it's actually happening to them. And this gigantic war is going on, and we're the ones running it, and Trump hadn't been able to stop it in almost 2 years. He didn't start it. Russia's like, okay, you're bombing us thousands of times a week. We're going to start hitting you. And the UK Prime Minister responds to that, Russia's threats in the last 2 weeks, by saying, yeah, their Prime Minister, yeah, we are running the attacks. We're proud of it.
And despite Russia's outrageous threats to my country, we will continue our support for Ukraine's defense.
And the Russia goes, well, thank you for, under the rules of war, admitting that. Now we can legally hit you. I mean, you understand where we are here?
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit.
New York City officials releasing a PSA on what to do in case of a nuclear attack. Their instructions, get inside, and stay tuned.
Russia has revised its nuclear doctrine. The United States is now in the process of revising its nuclear doctrine. As for Israel, well, the government of Israel and successive governments of Israel have over more than 50 years at various points threatened the use of offensive nuclear weapons. So we sort of know that Israel is capable of that, at least if you take them at their word. But the United States is a country most Americans never imagined would seriously consider lobbing nukes into another country. Discussions about their use have taken place in the Pentagon. And we're here to confirm that that is absolutely true. And not only have there been discussions about the use of nuclear weapons, tactical nukes against, say, Karg Island or Pickaxe Mountain or various spots within Iran, those discussions have included slide decks. Now, you would think at that point, the meeting would stop and the person in charge of the meeting would say, who wrote that? And the person running the meeting would find out. Then he would call the president, and then legal proceedings, criminal proceedings, would begin against the person who wrote that down. Because anyone who suggests the use, the voluntary use, the offensive use of nuclear weapons is putting at risk the life of every person on the planet, and that would include your children and grandchildren and you. That person is, by definition, a lunatic, a dangerous lunatic, who should not only be removed from any decision-making authority, but probably should go to jail, like, immediately.
If there's no ceasefire, you're not going to have to know. You're just going to have to look at one big glow coming out of Iran. And they better sign their agreement fast.
So here's Trump publicly, which he did after, remember a few months ago when he was talking about nuking him, I said, well, if he does, impeach him. And it was a big national story. And then Trump came out and said, no, I'm not going to nuke him. That's not what I meant.
You ruled out using a nuclear weapon against Iran.
Well, I would never say that, but the answer is yes. I rule out. No, there's no reason for it.
And has that
what a stupid question that is, actually.
Well,
here they are. They're totally defeated militarily. So now I defeat them, and now I should use a nuclear weapon on top of them. What a stupid question.
Yeah, it was stupid to have your surrogates say it, and you go, giant orange glowing crater tune into Mark Levin tonight, their whole culture and everyone will die in one day. What's that mean, pal? Ladies and gentlemen, When you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed 3. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There are so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome to the broadcast on the eve of Labor Day. My name is Rex Jones. Happy to host, fill in for my dad, Alex Jones, on the Alex Jones Show Live Sunday edition. We've got a lot of breaking news, a lot of things to cover that I want to show you. And I'm very excited because one of my favorite guests that I love having on, love talking to, but more than anything, when he's on I never catch an episode of it, Michael Yon, the powerful Michael Yon, very distinguished military operator, very distinguished wartime journalist. He has been on the ball in all these global conflicts and global crises, whether that be COVID, whether that be mass migration, whether that be the war in various theaters, Ukraine, Russia, Iran, Israel. He knows about it all. We're going to cover all of that in the second hour. But I wanted to start off today just with the question of what is a sovereign nation? You know, a sovereign nation is a nation that has borders, number one. You don't have people pouring into your country all the time that aren't a part of your historic ethnic, religious, or cultural base. They're not coming from thousands of miles away. You have a people that have lived in a place for a very long time under a specific societal rule set that all share the same values. And this is what the great failure of the West was not acknowledging this. You see, after World War II, and really just before that as well, the entire developed civilized world, I guess you could say, at the time, really comprised of Europe, the United States of America. Now, that was for a variety of factors, but really, if you look at it, it was the flower of the Renaissance, the flower of the West, our system of government that we evolved from the British, having, you know, liberty and freedoms and rights for all. And of course, we refined on that. We had some issues with that. But moving forward into the 20th century, we essentially lived in an oasis of freedom, an oasis of technology, and just total abundance. We had everything we needed, everything we wanted, dirt cheap, on time, whenever, however we needed it, right? And, you know, there are other people around the world, too. The West is comprised like roughly under a billion people, 600 million people, 900 million if you count U.S. and then Europe. And the people in our countries, you ever watch the Boomer ad where they go, we are the world with the Coca-Cola, they genuinely believed that everyone else was just the same. Everyone else was just a Westerner. Everybody else had nominal Christian values. Everyone else understood that humans are created in the image of God. And they said, well, why don't we just open ourselves up? Why don't we just share everything that we've worked on? The plane, the internet, the car, development of civilization. Why don't we just not only export that and give it to other people? Why don't we just bring them here? Because, of course, the great flaw in that system is that we didn't export it to other people. We use developing nations and developing countries. We call them third world or second world now. We exploited them for their resources. We exploited them in wars, and we exploited them greatly for our own military industrial complex. Now, what does that lead to? When you have an open border, because you believe anybody and everybody's the same, we can let them in, but at the same time, you get to exploit, degrade, destroy their countries. What that leads to is mass migration. And we've seen that process happen over the past century, really over the past 20, 30 years. The numbers, they differentiate, just talking about America alone, the numbers between somewhere like 20 million and 50 million people. They say that there are 100 million illegal people or people that weren't Americans in this country in the current modern day. Now, when you start to think about the fact that it only takes 3.5% of a population to do a revolution, that starts getting really scary. And when you look at the U.S., the United States of America has always been a country that's incredibly, you know, friendly and open to legal immigration. We've accepted between 1 and 2 million people a year for the better part of a century, right? And you just look at that policy. No one historically, societally has had that policy except for us. And it's really destroyed our country. You know, it's destroyed our country in a very insidious way. It's not like taking a hammer to a rock. It's like pouring water on a rock over, you know, decades and decades and decades. You can erode a whole massive cliff. And what we're looking at here, the foundational groups of Americans, foundational white Americans, first and foremost, because that is the historic ethnic base of our population, but also historical foundational Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, people from all over that have grandparents here, great grandparents here, and can trace their lineage back to the American struggle in various forms. When we say, oh, someone from Bangladesh is the same as you, you know, someone that's parents fought for the end of slavery and civil rights. Hey, somebody from Bangladesh is the same as you, somebody that has ancestors that built the railroads. Hey, someone from Bangladesh is the same as you, somebody that has direct relatives that were on the Mayflower, helped write the Constitution, helped fight in the Revolutionary and Civil War. It's a bit ridiculous and no other people would tolerate it. And in America, we got a lot of problems, but the immigrants that we have are largely Hispanic people and they are nominally Catholic. They do have nominally family values. And I'm from Texas, right? My family, right? They were given land by Mexico almost 300 years ago. Okay. So I can understand like a multicultural framework, although I do have to frame that from the perspective of white people being the historic ethnic group of America and their rights and demographics should be protected. However, there's a big difference between Jose, who's coming over here and loves Jesus and does whatever, than somebody that, you know, worships a cow or, you know, worships Muhammad or whatever, and then mass importing those people when that is completely foreign and alien to our Western values. There's not really any argument for it at all. But we can look at America, we can say we have problems, and I would wage economic warfare. I would get them out of here by saying tax remittances at 100%. You can't rent, can't get a car. We don't want to do violence towards you. We want to get you out of our country. We don't hate you. You just shouldn't be here. Take a look at Europe. Take a look at Europe if you want to see a really, really, really somber view of the future. Because they don't have that constitution we have. They don't have that First Amendment, that Second Amendment that we have. They don't have that Fourth Amendment, Ninth Amendment that we have. They don't have any protections for themselves, and it really is a case of the dodo bird, right? I would not call Americans dodo birds. Americans are people that are living through various situations, and the struggle is real here. But you're talking about Europe, a place that we subsidized, a place that we bankrolled, people that drink coffee and have wine all day and just chill out by the cafe or whatever. These people just open the floodgates to their own countries. I often go back, I don't have the video here, see if we can find some, of the Germans just with glee blowing up their nuclear power plants. And it's like, that's like the stupidest thing that you could do, destroying your manufacturing base at the same time choosing the carbon taxes, choosing the climate change lie, choosing to embrace that. And you're saying, okay, we're going to build windmills and we're going to let millions of North African and Sub-Saharan African and Asian immigrants into our country en masse because we don't care. And you're like, what? You guys are having like 1.4, 1.2 kids a year. These people are having like four. And you think that London's still going to be London after a half century of doing that? I don't think so. And it's really not. It's like Londonistan now. And I don't even hate the people that come there. The people that come there for a very specific reason, in large part either because we've destroyed their country and they have legitimate cause. I would view it as illegitimate, but under the law, legitimate cause to come there. Or they just do it because they're brought in by massive leftist NGOs, Catholic NGOs, Jewish NGOs, non-governmental organizations that will give these people a Zodiac vote, a credit card, a plane ticket, cash, whatever they need to get into the country. And then what do these people do? Because these people are foreigners, because these people are not Americans or not Europeans, and they're strangers in a strange land, they build an enclave with each other. They click up with each other, and they know what the mission is. They know what the problem is. There's not enough of them there yet to take full control. And the people wandering around like, Dodo Bird's like, hey, man, it's all great, dude. I love you, man. And it's like that person is going to outbreed you. That person is going to outcompete you. Not because they're better or superior. If people come from a worse place around the world, they have more children. You can look at India now where the birth rate is actually starting to go down. That is because it's becoming a much more developed country. When people live under threat of death, under crisis, look at Gaza as an example. Half the population of that city of 2 million people is under 18, right? Because when people don't know if they're going to live tomorrow, they're going to ensure their future by having another child. come hell or high water. And when you bring these people here, you ferry them in, you give them money, give them cards, give them plane tickets, and then you give them the ability to grift off the system and become welfare queens, they're going to take that, and it's going to be a part of their protocol. So I want to show these videos now. Let's go ahead and show some of the reaction to this. Clip number 5, mass protesters block streets near Dover Port in England during demonstration against migrant boat arrivals, from Don Keith.
Folks, I don't know if people actually understand the gravity of what's happened today in Dover, England, the primary gateway for illegal immigrant boats. An army of what looks like at least 1,000 men showed up blocking the streets and confronting police who were so intimidated they didn't even try to stop them or even raise their voices towards them, and for good reason. These men didn't come waving banners with their wives and children, which, don't get me wrong, it also has its place and time, but these men came for one purpose, dressed entirely in black clothing and balaclavas. These men came as a show of force and intimidation. They stood in front of the port, blocking the streets in defiance. Just look how they marched right through police lines without any pushback at all. And they seemingly put this army together with no hoopla or fanfare, no invitations or notices on social media. They moved quietly, old school, through a network of patriot-to-patriot communications, and they showed up. Sometimes that's all you have to do is just show up. Now, this is Britain, but just imagine what's going to happen throughout Europe when European men see what's happening in Britain. If this movement continues to grow, doubles, triples, even quadruples in size in Britain, it has no choice but to catch fire all over Europe. The governments will then be forced to decide whether to go to war with their own people for the world to see, or remove the invaders from their homelands. But I just want to congratulate the man or men who organized this. Of course, we all know who it is. And, you know, to all of the men who showed up for their country today, bravo, lads, bravo.
And that's just the natural result of importing people into your country en masse. And the government is the people doing it. The NGOs are the people doing it. The billionaire class, the Epstein class, the elites, whatever you want to call them, they understand that they need a new permanent underclass in that country that's not used to the same standard of living, the same type of rights, the same type of, you know, a connection with the land itself. They're new there. And if they're new there, they're willing to work under any system that's set up. Overhead shot, please. I just want to look at this. This is one of many examples. See if we can find the video of the guy doing like the death blood ritual where he's going la, 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 over the guy in the street. This is a whole nother video. Look at this. Police arrested a Muslim man in Ireland after he stabbed a man in his 40s in Dublin city center. And you can just look at all the blood there. You can look at this guy on the ground. This guy on the ground should never have been there. Get him out of the country preemptively by never putting this guy, who's a native, in the situation. This is the same as people that make the argument about the Native Americans being genocided. This is a genocide, okay? When they bring this guy over here, they're bringing him over as a bioweapon because they know he's going to be a useful idiot for their cause. And it's the white people, the elites, the Jewish people, a lot of these people, doing this type of stuff. And when you point that out, when you say, hey, it's the Catholic charities bringing them over there, man. It's the Jewish charities bringing them over there, man. It's the government bringing them over there, man. You say, oh, you're a racist. Oh, you're anti-Semitic. Oh, you're whatever. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just recognizing the truth, the facts on the ground, the situation. That guy was brought over there by elites to destabilize the country, and he has no reason, no cause to be there. Go ahead and go to clip number 6. Residents in an Italian town team up to restrain a man during a violent confrontation in the street, from Tommy Robinson. That's pretty cool, right? Sucks when you don't have guns. You know, this is why we got to be grateful for what we have here in America. And that's ultimately why we don't have a lot of these people over here yet. We got to make sure they don't come here. It's because it's like that scene in Indiana Jones where the guy's waving around the sword and you just go bop, bop, bop. Someone runs at me with a pipe, they're dead. Like pretty much immediately, I'm going to pop them in the head. So very unfortunate situation, though. That guy should be in some village somewhere and not there. Certainly not. All right, let's go to the man being stabbed. Go ahead and show the man being stabbed in the blood ritual. Look at that. Diversity is our strength. These are our Western values, like the dodo bird. Look at him on the ground. He's like, I wish I killed you. I wish I murdered you. La, 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 la. That guy should get the electric chair immediately. I'm sure he'll get like 5 years in prison and they'll say, oh, mental health. Oh, religious values. Oh, he was oppressed. You know, they have a whole system in the UK where, you know, that guy that got stabbed. Can we pull up that story? I want to give his name. I don't want to just say that guy. The man that was stabbed by the Sheik coming home, literally after having one drink, just walking down the street, and the guy bugs his eyes out at him and takes out the knife and stabs him to death. And the cops cuffed the white kid, and they took him to jail as he was dead. So that's the type of horror that we're dealing with here. There are just countless, countless examples of that happening. But in that same case, the cops say, oh, well, we have to acknowledge historic prejudice against the murderer. The murderer felt prejudiced. They were bigoted and biased against the man who was stabbing them in the stomach and killing them, murdering them. And you look at the guy, and he's just like a dysgenic retard. The guy probably has like an 82 IQ. That's being generous, 65 IQ. He doesn't care. His name was Digwa, the murderer, the evil man who should be executed. Yeah, man guilty of murdering student with ceremonial knife. Look at that. No intelligence behind the eyes, only a vacant desire to kill. Look at that innocent kid, Henry Nowak. Forgive me for forgetting that name. We all must remember that because this is the consequence of mass migration. They will kill your son. They will kill your wife. They will kill your daughter. How did the song go? I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. There we go. Gonna stab your daughter at the mall. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Gonna stab your wife, your son. Ooh. Gonna stab you with a butcher knife, and then the police chief is gonna say, we love our Somalis, we love our Muslims, oh, they so good, oh, they so sweet. My dad called this a decade ago, and that's because it was already happening a decade ago. Very, very, very disturbing. Guys, do you have that clip that I said to send Daria, or that I sent Daria already? Do you guys have that one as well? Yes, go ahead and show this. This is more protests against the migrant boats. We're seeing this all over Europe now. This is what's happening. This is the response to the jihadi invasion. Yeah, that's it. And this is very positive, a very positive development. These people should never have been in these countries. Okay, and it's time for them all to go home. If you're not a citizen already, it's time for you to go home. And that's a bare minimum, by the way. So this is what we're talking about. Do we have spines or do we not have spines? Do we care about our families or do we not? They care about their families. They cared enough to take a giant 1,000-plus-mile trip to invade our nations. Do we care enough about our families to kick them out? And again, it's not even their fault. It's a bioweapon situation. The people really at fault are the NGOs and the government elites that are bringing them all in, a la George Soros. I can literally just give you that example. Open society over and over and over again. All they do is shift these people into our nations, and there's no reason for them to ever be here. All right, I'm going to cover human osmotic pressure, which is kind of what I'm just talking about here with Michael Yon as he joins me in the second hour. I do want to plug right now the Labor Day blowout sale, which starts today. That's 40 to 50% off site-wide. Every single order will get you a free bottle of CMOS gummies. You absolutely must have the gummies, the natural iodine, natural minerals, cofactors, exactly what your body needs. This was the original Ozempic, the Ozempic of the sea. That's not a medical claim. That's a joke, but it has some truth to it. The Ozempic of the sea. You get a free bottle of it, the CMOS gummies, dietary supplement, not a drug. You get a free bottle of that. Plus 40 to 50% off site-wide. There are tiers after a certain point, getting free beef tallow on top of that. After a certain point, I think this is still a promotion, you get a free knife, get free tactical gear, stuff like that. Everything and more is available for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That is the place to buy Patriot apparel, hats, and t-shirts. That is the place to buy the highest quality dietary supplements in the entire world. And that is the place to get cutting-edge tactical gear, combat gear, so much more, water filtration. And you can find all of this and more at thealexjonesstore.com. The tiers are you spend $99, get free shipping and beef tallow. Spend $125, get a free mystery hat. And these are very high-quality hats made in America. Spend $249, get a free mystery dagger. That's 40 to 50% off everything, including our bovine colostrum, methylene blue, and T3 atomic iodine. But do not wait. This sale ends on Monday night. Save 40 to 50% off site-wide today at thealexjonesstore.com. And here's the thing. You guys have been fighting for us. We got a ton of major victories coming up soon. I was literally, you know, a 12-year-old when I started making videos on the old network. Now we have the new network, and it is only because of people like you that I have ever had a bed to sleep in at night. And I really appreciate every single one of you over the years, over the decades that have gone and gotten the vital nutritional supplements that we have, that have told other people about them, that have helped other people with the products that we're all able to bring to you together. And we don't bring you the products unless you want them. So it is the true 360 win. It all depends on you going to thealexjonesstore.com and just give somebody a free bottle of CMOS gummies with your order. Just say, hey, I ordered this stuff that I get every month anyway. Now I'm getting the CMOS gummies on top of that. I'm going to give that to a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, a family member, because we're going to continue the info war. We're going to continue to give you the highest quality products in the entire world. And all of that is available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. In closing in this segment, I just want to show this really quick. I don't know what to think about it. Here's the thing. I am aware of hair challenges, okay? If you see me, I'm bald as a bat, okay? I got that chrome dome. And thank God my head is in nice shape. The ladies love it, by the way. But if you look at this, the Dawn Tries Brunette. Donald Trump has entered his, I guess, like Richard Nixon archetype era. He's discovered Just for Men's. You know, at the CVS or the Walmart, wow, this stuff is really incredible. You know, I never thought it looked good brunette before, but wow, why'd they say I'm ravaging? But here's the thing. You know what? Good for Unk. We heard it was a wig, or part of it was a wig. I was always someone that would defend him as a kid. I would say, no, that's his real hair. I used to do Trump apologetics all the time. I was like an Olympic water carrying champion for Trump. But you know what, Unk? If you're going to dye your hair, that's the least of your grave offenses and sins against the nation. And I got to say, I think it's a good look. I think he looks more distinguished with that. He looks less like a used car salesman. But the real question, is it real hair dye? Has he dyed his real hair? Or is it a hair system? Or as the sisters would call it, a weave. Could it be a weave? Do we think this is a weave crew? We'll ask the audience that question later on. Very interesting stuff. Definitely with Mr. President to talk about. We've also got more ballroom news. We've also got more photos of him with the darker hair. You know, it kind of just, it looks like, he looks kind of like a Zoomer now. Is this Zoomer Trump? Kind of, you know how all the Zoomers have the, you know, kind of like the shaggy, like old Justin Bieber hair now. And I watch the brand risk fights. That's true. Kind of verified the Zoomer look. He's gone from Boomer to now Zoomer. So maybe he can evolve his thinking. Maybe his crystallized brain can heal now that he's thinking about terms like a cap on God and skibbity toilet. You know what? I do endorse it. And they do say he's still good at golf. So I do endorse the hair color change. And like I said, that's the least grave of all the grave sins. Looking at this, talk about a grave sin. Labor Day gas has never been this expensive. Trump is scrambling for answers. Americans will likely face the highest Labor Day gas prices on record this holiday weekend. It's another blow to Drill Baby Drill, who campaigned on affordable energy. It's driving up gas prices, the war in Iran, energy sticker shock, and there's a flurry of actions. Let me drop a little factoid on you real quick. The salt caverns that our new brunette president is intent on filling up with Venezuelan oil, that's not going to work. You need a process called catalytic crashing, which is very expensive. And one of the big companies only put about, I think, $5 billion into that last year. So we can say there are investments coming. We can say there's more oil coming. And maybe there is in the future. But right now, America's at a critical point coming into Labor Day. So we're going to keep an eye on that and many other developing stories as we get back. Again, Michael Yon is going to join me at the start of the next hour. I've got a lot of news, a lot of interviews, and a lot of stories coming up. And I do appreciate you guys. Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter. At the start of the next segment, I'm going to be plugging my word war debate competition that I just did in the bracket. Vote for me if you think I won. Not asking you, just vote for me blanket. I'll be displaying that coming up. Michael Yon joins us in the second hour. AlexJonesStore.com. Stay tuned, stay ready, and stay in the information war. I'm your host, Rex Jones. In cyberspace with you today, blazing through the airwaves.
Let me make a huge announcement that has been 3 years being prepared, and that is a giant, fantastic, full online pharmacy with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people, I mean, we've got the heads of the different national associations on the board of this. It's not my company. It's the folks we've been working with that are going to build the whole new network and all the new systems. So when you get a great deal on your online pharmacy, they got everything under the sun with the very best service and the very best quality, no matter where you are. Then the funds go into building a new army in the info war that will dwarf our past activity. A true 360 win. Announcing freedomrxhealth.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible. The prices are super low. It's all the highest quality, and it's everything. And obviously, with all the stuff we've been embroiled in the last few years, fighting the deep state info wars, it didn't launch because they would just try to blow it up on the ground. But now it's ready. Everything is at FreedomRx, one word, FreedomRxHealth.com. But we're focusing today on several of the big areas that I want to recommend to you. And it's so easy, and it's so quick. And it's literally, like, on average, 30% of what you get at a local doctor's office. And the service is so much better. Something Trump did good legalizing telemedicine in his first administration. The very best testosterone therapy and all the other hormonal therapy, energy, muscle, libido, mood, all the good peptides, the BPC-157, NAD, all of them, every single one of them. And what I've seen with the professional football players I know and friends and doctors and scientists and all the stuff that's going on, it is incredible. They've got every single one with the lowest prices. Sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, cognitive support. They got everything. And everything is cash, no insurance. Medication shipped directly to the patient door in discreet packages. All protocols are physician prescribed through a licensed telehealth physician network. It's all there. There's only one rule up front. Patients cannot call in to sign up. It has to all be done through the portal, so it follows all the laws. Very easy to do. All new patients must go through the portal at freedomrxhealth.com. This protects the patient, the physician, and the platform legally. Once onboarded, patients can reach support by phone or by mail, but sign-up is entirely online so that all the laws are followed. It's so simple. Do it in a few minutes. HIPAA compliant. Your health information is 100% protected. Patient goes to freedomrxhealth.com. Patient selects the protocol and completes the intake. Patient does the labs at a local, either recommended or blood testing facility of your choice. For physician review and consultation, prescription written, medication ships to the patient's door. Six easy steps. When you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Your health, your business, nobody else's. FreedomRx, preserving health, upholding values. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait until we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com. Preserving health, upholding values, your health, your business, nobody else's, the very best quality, the total selection of everything, the best telemedicine, so easy, the ball's in your court. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. Little bones of Christian murder, scum, metal, giant death factories, keeping babies alive and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we wanna eat babies. I have them on video.
I love Satan. So cute.
I kill my kids.
Hillary's in the creepy weird sick stuff, man.
He came, he saw, he died.
She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weirdo woman whose mother wears her hood over her head.
What the hell?
That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man.
I'm torn, her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
There's a guy on the radio who apparently Trump's on his show frequently. He says, me and Hillary are demons. Said we smell like sulfur. Ain't that something?
I had never seen or smelled any woman like that, ever.
People are telling me she smells.
Who could not notice someone who smelled that bad?
Spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. We're such self-centered crap. We don't even notice that it's out rising up against us. Millions of pointed people of the very worst type, and I'm so pissed. We're gonna stab your daughter at the mall. We're gonna stab your wife, your son. We're gonna stab you with a butcher knife, and then the police chief is gonna say, we love our Somalis, we love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet.
I was watching Fox News as I worked out this morning, and they had the police chief on making excuses from that town in Minnesota. And they had the Fox News host, this is the Fair and Balanced channel, going, Donald Trump really stepped in at this time. He said it was a bombing before it had officially been called a bombing, and Hillary's on him, and she's got some really good points.
All right, that's why you guys over the decades have bought the supplements, have supported this network and this show in all its various forms. And I got to just say thank you so much. I often go watch that video. That's Alex Jones Rants as Folk Edits. And you got to look at Rob Dew, who's the guy that put all that together and really upgraded that into that video. Rob Dew was doing AI before AI. Like, people that have worked here, they're all pioneers. They're all incredibly talented at their craft. And the craft is InfoWars, showing you information, showing you the truth. And you know what? Humor is a great way to, you know, diffuse things, to explain them in an easily accessible way. I want to pivot from that. We'll talk about Mitch McConnell here in a second, to clip number four, which is Chudley, you know, the MAGA new character now that's sweeping the internet by storm. Let's go ahead and show Chudley in clip number four.
Who's that coming down the street? It's the man they just can't beat. He's just telling it like it is, baby.
Breaking news. Take the president has signed an executive order officially renaming Lake Ontario. It is now Lake America.
Lake America.
Whoa! Lake America, baby! A whole lake! He renamed a whole entire lake! Oh, we going live for this one.
Real Americans, we are live, and I am gonna say it plain. The greatest day in American history just happened. Lake America. Say it with me, folks. Doesn't that just taste like freedom? Lake America. Mmm, that's good water now. The Panikin said he wasn't getting things done. Oh, really? He renamed a great lake. One of the great ones. Name one thing bigger than a lake. Go ahead. I'll wait. You can't. It's a lake. This is what winning looks like, folks. This is the golden age. We got a caller. Kevin from Ohio. You're live with Chudley. Talk to me, Patriot. Chudley, I voted for him. Twice. But my groceries doubled, my rent went up, and I just... How does a lake help me?
Panicking alert. We got a panicking, folks. How does a lake help me? It's a free lake now, Kevin. Next caller.
All right, that's enough of Chudley. You get the point. And here's the thing. Humor is a way for people to get complex ideas across because it forces you to think about things. And if you're laughing, you're clearly responding to something. What is this character? This character is the archetype of everything we always warred against and supported Trump over because we were not that. We were not blind sycophants. We did not support an establishment politician, an establishment party. We supported the truth and the values that we voted for. And every single person that has told me to compromise, every single person that has told me it's not a big deal, that my president isn't giving me what I voted for, I was a very, very, very staunch supporter up until about 2 years ago when he stopped doing the things that he said he was going to do. I point at Project Stargate, OpenAI, giving them $500 million. I point at not being able to end the Ukraine war on day one. I point at the failure domestically to bring cheap energy back because he got us into more wars in the Middle East, something he promised never to do. And you know what? Trump has been a lot better than the Democrats historically. That's not the problem. The problem is Trump betrayed the values that he ran on, and that gives the Democrats free ammunition and a free win in the next elections unless we call it out and demand true America First candidates that hold the president accountable for what he's done to our nation. Very simple. It's not that complicated, but when people hear you say that, they consider that to be a personal attack just because of all the things that we've gone through with President Trump together. And you know, my answer to that is Trump doesn't see it the same way. Trump sees it as truly a solo mission where he's done this all on his own. He's the victor. He's the champion. This was supposed to be a shared win. Your strongest supporters, people that you back, people that you said that you loved, now you hate them and MAGA means whatever you say it means. You'll call Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, Thomas Massey, Candace Owens, my father, Alex Jones, frauds, bankrupt, low IQ. And you'll say they're not MAGA, but now all the people that ran against you in 2016, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham types, Mark Levin types, now all those people, people like Ben Shapiro who said you wouldn't be able to win, said that he didn't like you, now that's what you have left, and that's why that Chudley character is so poignant and so specific, is because they have become every single thing that the Democrats said that they were. And that's the problem, is because we're not like that. We're not like Chudley. We make up our own mind. We have our own opinions based on logic, based on facts, based on what's best for our families, based on what's best for our country, not what's best for the billionaire class, not what's best for the oligarch class, not what's best for the Epstein class of people who run and dominate our entire land and the world globally. What was best for America? And that's what putting America first has always meant to me. And I gotta surmise or just guess that that's what it always meant to you. And that's why we call things like that out. And that's why we use humor to explain those complex topics. Okay. To give you another example of just, you know, a travesty that Trump was also a part of, you know, we've warred against this and you know what? Maybe weren't as diligent as we should have been at some points. Let's go to clip number 11, which is Dr. Daniel Negace. He's claiming that mRNA vaccines can alter reproductive DNA and cause inherited mutations across future generations. Go ahead and play this clip.
The entire human genome has been poisoned with a gene that has never been in the human genome ever in history. Reverse transcriptase doesn't only cause cancer. If something is reverse transcribed and alters the DNA of a sperm or an egg, that DNA change, if that sperm or egg survives and turns into a human being, lasts forever.
This is the magnitude of evil we are dealing with. We are dealing with people who have the money, the power, to pollute the entire human genome. I think because of this, we're going to lose about a billion children. So any mother to be, even if she is not pregnant yet, if she gets an mRNA vaccine, those mRNAs are going to go to the ovaries. There's DNA that stays silent, that is never transcribed into proteins until the next generation. And it'll only show up when that adult tries to have another child. 5 billion people have been injected so far on this planet. Half of them are women. 2.5 billion. Half of them will be women who are young enough to have children. There are 1.25 billion carriers of mutations in the egg cell line of their bodies. 1.25 million women who are capable of giving birth to children who carry something that has never been seen before in the human species, in the entire human genome.
Really powerful information there. We got to get that guy on. I hope that he's around. It's really powerful stuff that he's sharing. And yeah, Remember Operation Warp Speed? Remember the COVID vaccine, the father of the vaccine, Trump? And to people that would say that, oh, you're not willing to overlook XYZ thing because Trump is a better option than Democrats. You know, we've overlooked quite a bit. You know, we've been willing to give a pass, do some favors on quite a few important things. And what he just said there is that the vast majority of people, not just in America, but around the world, are injected with a self-replicating nanotechnology, mRNA technology, beyond CRISPR, beyond anything, putting new proteins and new DNA inside of human cells that has never been there before in human history. And we're just supposed to trust the plan and hope that it all works out. I mean, if you avoided the vaccine, if you avoided the clot shot, if you avoided the death jab, you really got to pat yourself on the back because you survived one of the greatest psyops in human history. And they told you you'd kill grandma if you didn't take it. They told you you would die if you didn't take it. They told you you'd spread it to anybody and everybody, and not taking it means that you hate the world and hates your fellow citizens and can't stand them. You got to take the shot to save everybody, right? And if you take a look at all the people in power, I bet they took a bunch of sugar water. That's my opinion, because people knew. Pfizer knew when they said, oh, it's going to take us 98 years to release the safety data on this. We need emergency use authorization. That means you didn't get informed consent. You didn't get knowledge of what you were taking. But a lot of people, sadly, probably a lot of people listening to me right now, were fooled into taking the shot. We've all been propagandized. We've all been abused by this system. The secret is not getting angry about it. The secret is being informed and resolved and resolute in what we have to do, which is to tell every single person, not just American, but around the world, what has been done to them. And that's something Trump can never take responsibility for because he put his name on it. Let's go ahead and show this, another clip from the Dear Leader. 13, Trump calls the Iran conflict small potatoes after 18 U.S. service members are killed and says strikes are intermittent. Let's go ahead and play that clip number 13.
Mr. President, the vice president said yesterday that he would not describe the conflict with Iran as a war, but the U.S. resumed strikes for the first time in recent weeks. Can you explain to the American people, if this is not a war, what exactly is it?
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't call it a war. I call it a military conflict because it's small potatoes for us. It's not a big thing. We did Venezuela and we did this. In Venezuela, we lost nobody, and this, we lost 18 people. In Vietnam, you lost 100,000 people, and in other conflicts, you lost tens of thousands of people. I would say that it's intermittent, you know.
Yeah, it's not acceptable. It's not small potatoes. It's not intermittent. Every single drop of American blood is valuable, and every single American that voted for you, or large swaths of the American population that voted for you and gave you the popular vote, believed you were what you said you were, President Trump. They believed that you were the peace president. They believed in no new wars in the Middle East, no neocon wars in the Middle East. That's everything that's gone down in the Iran war. We don't have the munitions. We don't have the bases. We don't have the radar. We don't have the troops. We don't have anything unless we escalate to full million-man ground invasion, national draft, or a nuclear attack. Tit for tat, the Iranians will win because what they make is much cheaper and much more effective than what we have. And ultimately, this is an existential conflict for them. They will fight this until they eat dirt. But here in America, that $4 gas price, that $6 diesel, rising costs at the grocery store, at the pump, at home, inflation's above 4%. We're buying our own bonds back. That's Banana Republic stuff, okay? And that's happening in large part because of these global conflicts, whether that be Ukraine, whether that be Iran. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars, and we're losing hundreds of billions of dollars in assets that would take us decades, years if not decades, to bring back. So I just did a great debate on this, actually, with Jose Tejeda on a Word War Debate. And I want to encourage all you guys not to vote for me. I want you to watch the debate. We got a big audience here. I want you to watch this debate. Make up your mind for yourself and then vote for who you believe to be the winner. I'll give my biased perspective. He didn't provide a single fact, and the facts that he did provide were wrong. He believed that Iran wasn't a signatory to the NPT and that Israel was. That's just inverted and flipped on its face. He kept proposing, you know, hypotheticals. What if we are able to control the strait? What if we are able to do it? Don't you agree it's good? Then no, because that escalation, which he agreed would need to happen for us to be able to do that, Russia and China are already involved in this conflict. As of yesterday, Iran was shooting missiles with Chinese and Russian help, logistics, and then actual anti-ship ballistic missiles at our George Washington in their sea. So that's where we're at. I highly encourage everybody to watch that debate. Can we throw that up there again? That's Word War Debate, not World War Debate. And then you're able to go vote. There's a link in the description. I highly encourage you to watch it. I thought it was a great back and forth. He did a good job at the debate bro archetype. I did a good job at that old school style that we love to bring. I'm like a brawler. I'm like a knockout puncher. You know, the Andrew Wilson Crucible people, they're like jujitsu people. They're like leg kicking people. And I made him stand and bang with me. And in my opinion, the facts on the ground prove that he can't do that. So go watch the debate at Word War Debate and go vote for whoever you think was the winner. Not saying to vote for me, but go watch that. Make up your own mind for yourself. If the facts matter to you, I think that you'll vote for me. I want to get into this now because it's kind of a little bit fun, although it is sad, but it's not sad because he's a genocidal warmonger, neocon that's led to wars in the Middle East that have killed thousands of American soldiers and millions of people across the globe with his sanctions. Fox News host says Mitch McConnell must return to work or quit. He's dead. He ain't alive. He needs to get in front of a microphone and prove that he can do this job, Fox News contributor Joe Kocha said. And if he can't, he needs to step aside. From reproductive rights to the climate change to big tech, independent, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah, so a Fox News co-host urged Senator Mitch McConnell to either return to work or resign, underscoring mounting frustration over the Kentucky Republicans' nearly three-month absence from Congress. If he does not come back in September, he needs to step down. How many months has it been since anyone's heard from him directly? Yeah, the guy's not around. If he is around, he's in a vegetative state. And they need to buck up and nut up and get somebody new in there. I'm sure just like Lindsey Graham's sister, they'll be able to find an excellent neocon replacement for him. But that turtle croaked. That turtle ain't alive. That turtle is gone. And anybody that thinks that he's still around, you know what? The dinosaurs are dead. And by proxy, Mitch McConnell is probably dead as well. If they do trot him out, I'd be highly surprised if it's not an android or maybe a Weekend at Bernie's type situation. But I'll make that prediction now. Maybe I'm wrong. I think Mitch is gone. And you know what? Look at him sitting there. On the advice of my doctors, this is from a statement that he made. Okay, I don't have him on video saying this. On the advice of my doctors, I'll maintain an intensive regimen of physical therapy from home during the state work period, and I'll continue to engage with my staff and colleagues on important Senate business. So we got a senator gone. He's not doing his civic responsibility. I'm sure she has a nice life or whatever. But okay, Mitch McConnell, is he alive or dead? Maybe I'll ask Michael Yon that question as well. Let's go ahead and show clip number, we'll go ahead and show clip number 16, which is a claim from Patrick Hingston, a leading independent journalist who I really respect. It's a claim that Trump's team plans to crash the U.S. dollar profit from its collapse and replace it with the stablecoin. Go ahead and play clip 16.
The agenda is to crash the dollar. Now, if you're going to crash the dollar, who do you hire? Scott Bessent's record as a fund manager is horrible. He was living off of George Soros' investment in his fund. So he was a hatchet man for Soros. Soros broke the pound. Allegedly, Bessent had a role in this when he was young, as a young trader. How much of that we can verify is another question. But he's traded off his Soros relationships. He hasn't been super successful. He's probably made a lot of money with Soros. But, you know, is he qualified to run the U.S. economy and foreign policy? I don't think so. But you need someone who's ruthless enough, dirty enough, and who understands that you can profit off the collapse. That's Scott Bessent. So that's why he was chosen. That means that Trump and whoever's backing Trump is planning to crash the dollar. Yes. And they're all going to short it. And this is why this team has been assembled. Very important concept. This gang has been assembled to engineer the collapse of the U.S. economy, of the U.S. dollar, and then make money off the dip, make money off the crash. They'll position their bets accordingly, and they will make an absolute killing as they will be more or less in control of the timing of this within a sort of reasonable time frame. And then they'll replace the U.S. dollar with whatever they use to rescue it, probably a stable coin, probably going to have to do with World Liberty Financial, possibly the USD1 stable coin, which has been spun up by Trump and sons. I mean, you can't make any of this up because it's all true. So is that their sort of exit strategy to backstop the collapsed U.S. fiat dollar with a crypto coin? And then they've all positioned themselves at the ground level of this crypto empire. And so they're going to own a significant stake in the remaining carcass of the U.S. economy. And then they'll build God knows what. Do they even have a plan after that? Who knows? One thing is for sure. These people, everything they do is about profiting off of the chaos.
Yeah, I thought that was the whole point of the tariffs, was to make our dollar more competitive, maybe more competitive to Howard Lutnick and Sons, who wrote the tariff policy. And had it been written correctly, they would have been perfectly legal, even though I disagree with the policy and its implementation by and large. It would have been perfectly legal. And the Supreme Court literally said this. The Supreme Court literally said, had you not messed up this bad, we would have passed it through just fine. But because of the wording that Howard Lutnick put in there, him and his sons, or just his sons in general, not making a claim there, they shorted against the tariffs, and they made billions of dollars. These are economic hitmen, okay? Look at the history of the fall of the Soviet Union, the Western economists that were sent in there to help create oligarchs and create monopolies. That's what buying the dip is. You want to talk about The Big Short, which is a great movie that everyone should watch? This is the biggest short in human history. It's happening right now as they gut our empire. Scott Bessent literally worked for George Soros. And you know what? Liberal, liberal, liberal. That's what I have to say to that. All these people don't have a record of being conservatives. All these people don't have a record of being patriots. What they do have a reputation for is messing with and taking your money across the globe. But now here it's come home to America. And that is completely untenable to any sort of America first position that we all share. We want a future where our dollar is worth something, not where it's gone. We don't want to be on a stable coin. We don't want to be on digital ID. We don't want to be on your welfare system, bro. They're cutting everything out from underneath us. And we as Americans need to hold our own side accountable, the people that portend to be America first but are not. And we need to say, hey, this is everything that we voted against, and the things that we voted for, you lied about implementing correctly. You implemented them like the tariffs in an incorrect way, and you made sure it wouldn't work. You made sure you'd be able to short the market. You made sure you'd be able to rip us off. And for what? For what? Like the first U.S. president to actually bring jobs back, have peace through strength, not do wars. They would build golden statues of them forever. Look at Trump in 2016. Very flawed administration, very flawed cabinet, but no new wars, good economy, good business deals, pulling us out of the TPP, so much more, good Supreme Court appointments. Just that was enough to create a political dynasty that lasted a decade. And how they killed that is not us killing that. It's not us saying, oh, we don't like Trump anymore for XYZ reason. No, we don't like what MAGA has turned into. It's turned into MIGA. It's turned into MUGA. Make Ukraine great again. Make Israel great again. Make Europe great again. But it's got nothing to do with us here at home. Hey, I don't care about whatever acronym it is, making Scott Bessent's bank account great again. It's already great. All these people, they're worth hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. But it's just like Rockefeller said. How much money is enough, sir? He says, one more dollar. And that is a very sick mindset to have. And now we're not even going to have dollars anymore. So I hope everybody's happy with that. Again, I encourage you to go vote for me. Word war debate. Go watch the debate I just did. Is the Iran war beneficial to America? My opponent described a hypothetical future where it could be. I described the future we're in right now, the present, where it's not. So go ahead and watch that at Word War Debate. Find out who you think won by watching the whole thing. I encourage you not just to vote for me, but to vote for who you thought won. I thought I made a much better argument. He didn't have like two facts to rub together, just a bunch of debate bro terms. We don't do that here. We bring the logic. We bring the information. We bring the stacks. We bring the stacks in the studio, man. I got stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of news, and I present it to you every single day. Look at all this. This is all in my brain. How are you going to beat me? How are you going to defeat me? I'm coming for you, Andrew Wilson. I'll see you guys after this break. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter, should you choose to follow me there. I will see you all on the next level with Michael Yon, Powerful Patriot. Stay tuned.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have this system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show second hour. We're about to be joined by Michael Yon. I'll read his bio here in the moment. Of course, all fans of the network are familiar with his incredible patriotism and journalism across the globe. I'll just go ahead and do it now. Michael Yon is American writer and photographer and a combat journalist. He served in special forces in the early 1980s, and he became a writer in the mid-1990s. He's focused on military writing after the invasion of Iraq and other topics. Yon has been embedded on numerous occasions with American and British troops in Iraq, most prominently a deployment with the 1st Battalion, 24th Infantry Regiment, Deuce 4 of the 25th Infantry Division in Mosul, Iraq, that ended in September 2005. Yon has had vocal feuds with the United States military hierarchy, and the nature of his reports is also controversial. Michael Yon at one time enjoyed rock star status, and still does on this network 100%, among individual soldiers, according to Brian Williams of NBC. Michael Yon, so many developments to talk about today. How are you doing, first of all?
Oh, another day in paradise. I'm in Japan, and I'm looking at the rains come in. There's been a lot of floods here. And in fact, 23 districts in Tokyo or school districts are closed today because of possible floods. Anyway, that's just one of many things going on. I think you want to talk about Iran, right?
I do want to talk about Iran. We have a shorter segment here. What's going on in Japan?
Well, Japan, just a lot of floods. I mean, floods all over the place, floods and mudslides, floods and muds. And also, obviously earthquakes happen here from time to time. But most lately it's been just been a lot of floods.
Yeah, we're very blessed here. I'm from a place with very mild weather, Texas, or not Texas, but Austin's on that like limestone basin. So we don't get earthquakes. We don't really have tornadoes here because it's the hill country. But if you go a little bit further out, you can discover just how powerful weather can be. I remember we used to live on a house on stilts on Onion Creek in Dripping Springs. And when it would flood, it tore up the entire gate. The entire fence was gone. You realize the power of water and the power of natural disasters, which are becoming more frequent. We're seeing more examples of this. Nepal, that was pretty crazy, right? What happened over there?
We should talk about that.
We should.
You know, I spent about a year in Nepal, and I've been up in Tibet and a lot of time in China as well. But that what happened in Nepal is quite mysterious. I've walked out in those Himalaya mountains quite a lot. And, but for those who've been to the Rockies, if for some sense of magnitude, if you've not been to the Himalaya, go to the roughest place you've ever seen in the Rockies and double it. And you know, the Rockies are pretty rugged, but the Himalaya are, you know, they consider and actually Himalaya in Sanskrit means like abode of snow, or like Hima means like snow or ice. So, and Laya is abode. Anyway, it's just a bunch of big stuff, and it falls all the time. You know, in 1929, there was a glacial outbreak flood that was multiples much, much bigger than what we just saw. And it went down the Indus River, which is one of the most important rivers on Earth. But only about 10 people died. And how did that happen? Because 750 miles away, on the Indus River in 1929, the wave was about 28 feet tall. 750 miles away, it was about 28 feet tall, right? Think about that. And only about 10 people died because they had a warning system. They had a warning system that included in 1929 of people lighting fires to give off smoke on hilltops. They used airplanes to shoot, you know, flares out to warn people down the river, and they used telegraph, and only about 10 people were killed. But here, an unknown number of people were killed. And now
we've lost a lot of those old ways that keep us safe and protect us. We're going to cover this and so many other stories after the break. That's our first 5-minute segment for today. Thank you, Michael Yon. If you guys right now want to get that Labor Day discount, that deal, go to thealexjonesstore.com for the CMOS gummies you'll get for free with each and every order. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this break.
Gentlemen, when you go to Freedom RX, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed 3. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There's so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
More powerful information, more powerful shows, the most powerful network in alternative media. All of you guys need to share the live links to the feeds. Repost this right now at AJN Live. We got Michael Yon, call sign Big Honey, combat journalist, operator, everything you can be in the realm of military and economic analysis across the world. You're also just a globe traveler. You've literally been to all these conflict zones, all these hot regions, and just everywhere around the planet for the proper context it takes to discuss these things. I want to continue talking about Nepal and about this mysterious lack of an early warning system. What do you think's going on there?
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, what's going on in Nepal and Tibet is directly related to what's going on in Iran and Argentina and Ukraine, right? And across our United States. It's all directly related, not peripherally, but directly. Now, keep in mind, China has taken Tibet, as you know, and a long time ago. And they're building dams all over Tibet, military bases. It's the roof of the world. It's the third pole, as some people call it. There's a huge amount of everything up there. And one dam that the Chinese I think they're going to go for it. The biggest dam in the world, 3 times bigger than the Three Gorges Dam. And this is on the anyway. If they build this huge dam up in Tibet, which is on 6 fault lines. I mean, it's like a monstrous project to try to build, but they would close off. It would actually control the Brahmaputra River, which goes down into India and Bangladesh. I've been down on that river in Bangladesh and in India. And, anyway, this is the roof of the world. The major rivers of India, the major rivers of Asia come out of Tibet. Like, you know, the Ganges partially comes out of the Indus, Yellow, Yangtze, right? Brahmaputra. And so it's quite a serious place. And so there's people that would not want that dam to be built. There's people that where that flood just happened, that catastrophic flood, that was the major the major artery for trade between China and Nepal. And, of course, the United States wants Nepal. More accurately, the Zionists want it. They want Nepal. The Indians want it. And in 2015, there was a huge earthquake in Nepal, which wiped out the first biggest trade route between China and Nepal. It wiped that one out. So they opened this one, the one that you're showing now. That one was opened and became the main artery after that 2015 earthquake. So China wanted to build a train right through where you're looking at now, which would have been a pretty tremendous project to pull off. But anyway, that's obviously had some monkey wrench put into it.
Well, everything's so fun now, around the planet. You know, everything's so fun all the time. There's always all these conflicts, crises, and now these natural disasters. Was this natural, though? What do you think?
It could have been. I can easily see where it could have been. And it could have been Chinese up to doing their construction and just made a mistake with explosives or something. I don't know. And it also could have been sabotage. It could have been I can see two major players who would have the means and motive, and that would be India. They're very smart and highly capable. They know how to build tunnels and all that sort of thing. And it could have been US/Zionist. Both have means and motive to make that happen through various means. So I don't know. It is mysterious that the 2015 port of entry closed and then this one. And I mean, that's what I would do. I would close those down. I would also take out Chinese dams. You know, likewise, we should talk about Ethiopia someday and Sudan and Egypt. But anyway, you want to talk about Iran, but it's all directly related. But hydraulic warfare is one of the major forms of warfare. And hydraulic warfare, I think you'll start seeing that more and more. In fact, 24 hours before this happened, I had put a post on my Substack about hydraulic warfare, just 24 hours. And hydraulic warfare, you know, for instance, you could cause a cascade between from Ethiopia down through Sudan and down through Egypt, take out Aswan, and you would take out you would basically devastate Egypt with just controlling the headwaters up on the Blue Nile in Ethiopia. You could actually just devastate Egypt and take it, you know, out as a country. Actually, it would be, I think, non-functional. It might take a few years, but between mechanisms of flood and drought, flood and drought, flood and drought, which you could do by controlling those headwaters. About 85% of the water from the Nile that goes through Egypt comes from the Blue Nile. The other 15% mostly comes from the White Nile. And anyway, you take out all the dams in Sudan, which is, keep in mind, Sudan and Egypt are part of the Greater Israel Project. So these dams that are being built up in Ethiopia tell me something's not weaponized there. I checked out the engineering of the GERD Dam. The GERD Dam is already constructed. That's the Greater Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. What a perfect name, GERD. Now, I think they probably picked the name GERD and then picked the name, picked some words around it that made, you know, GERD sound legit. But GERD, the GERD Dam, I checked the maximum outflow that they can make from a controlled outflow from the dam. And it's about double what they could do from Aswan. Aswan's downstream in Egypt, right? What I'm getting to is they also want to build three more major dams in Ethiopia. So that would be a total of four. You'd have four reservoirs. You can release all four of those after you fill the reservoirs, release them all at once, take out all the dams in Sudan, take out all the dams in Egypt, including Aswan, and actually devastate Cairo and that whole delta. If you look at Egypt at nighttime, you look at it from a satellite view, you see that it looks like the whole 95% of the population is along that Nile River. And that's where they get about 95% of their drinking water as well, is from the Nile River and their agriculture. Why would the Zionists want to do this? Well, they say they want to do it. They're very, very open about it. And, they're not open about that mechanism of using the GERD Dam and the others. If I were Egypt, I'd take that dam out. But that will give whoever controls Egypt. Now you got control of the Suez Canal, right?
Wow.
And part of the dams in Ethiopia are related also to New Somaliland, which there you go. There's Egypt at night right there. But New Somaliland is right there next to Djibouti, which is right next to the Bab al-Mandeb. So you would have Suez and Bab al-Mandeb. And now you see the Strait of Hormuz, which on my Substack on July 3rd of 2025, I said very clearly that there's a high chance that what's happening now in the Strait of Hormuz would happen. I said this in July, on July 3rd of 2025 on my Substack. What you see in Hormuz right now, I said would likely happen. I think something similar will happen at Malacca and Sunda. Actually, Krakatoa going off is, I don't know what that's going to do. Let's see. But the, but Sunda and Lombok, not to mention, of course, Panama. Now look at the Falklands. I've been predicting there will be a war over Falklands for quite a while. And now it's starting to kick up. Why the Falklands? First of all, there's a lot of energy there. This is all related. There's a lot of energy there and a lot of food and, you know, from the sea. And now keep in mind the Falklands also is in a nice place to control sea traffic going around South America that's diverting around Panama. And, you know, so you can go, you can, so I think after Argentina with quotes, it's good. Argentina is Zionist controlled. And so Argentina, I've been down there. I went to CPAC down there in what, December of 2024 or so. Very interesting. But when after Argentina, I think Argentina will successfully take. Now, Great Britain is threatening that they will go to war over Falklands as of yesterday, right? So, you know, a lot of people are noticing and sending me these messages about, you know, the Falklands. I said, yep.
So this is what I talked about. So yesterday I had a debate, Michael, and the prompt was, is the war in Iran beneficial to America? And my opponent spent his whole time talking about hypotheticals of, oh, if we control the strait, isn't it better for America? And I said, no, it points to the pattern of global escalation. All these conflicts, they don't happen in a vacuum. Other great powers, other countries are heavily involved. Whwhether you talk about the Falklands, whether you talk about the Bab el-Mandeb, whether you talk about the Strait of Hormuz itself, can you explain kind of the just the gravity of the danger of the situation we're in picking all these fights?
Right. Now, keep in mind, these are part of that larger war, part of which is to create global famine. So instigating a war between Argentina and Brazil, I think will come after Falklands. That's my guess and has been for quite a while. And so China gets a huge amount of their food from Brazil. Now, Masako, my wife and I, we went to Argentina about a year and a half ago or so. And we went up to that northern part of Argentina where that bioceanic corridor is. So the Zionists are clearly moving in up there. And there's starting to be reports actually of Zionists knocking indigenous people off their land. We went up with the indigenous people there like, you know, a year and a half ago or a little bit more than that. And we rode on one of those little trains that the Chinese have built up there. So the Chinese have, they're building a bioceanic corridor between Brazil and it goes through Paraguay and Argentina and Chile, right? So the Zionists want to interrupt that or at least control it. And so if again that way they're cut what they're doing by getting control of Panama Canal, control of that bioceanic corridor region and Falklands, so you can control what's going around the tip of South America. You're cutting off any food from China going in that direction, right? So I think you're going to see Malacca get shut down. This is a big, big deal. Malacca getting shut down. It's even bigger than Hormuz, like considerably. So, yeah, I think it's just, and Denmark, eventually that'll get involved. This is all part of it. Danish Straits, Masako and I went up there earlier this year. I think you're going to see that in Hamburg and Germany and North Sea. That'll be the side of war. I'm quite certain at some point the North Sea is basically the cold med. You know, it's very, very important. It's very valuable. So now when it comes to Hormuz, that was so predictable. I was predicting it so many times that would something like this would happen. Closing the Strait of Hormuz, not because it's any genius move. It's actually incredibly simple. And to predict it is incredibly simple. You know, like your dad said, often, you know, it's not genius. It's basically just reading their documents and studying over years. Right. And then over years, it just kind of comes to you. It's kind of obvious. A lot of the things are kind of obvious. They're not genius. It's just a function of having studied. And so, you know, the reason we can read books is because we studied the alphabet and how to read for a few years, right? It's the same with this, except it takes more than a few years. But I think what you'll see with the Strait of Hormuz is it will expand. That's what it's meant to do. But even if that's not what it's meant to do, wars do three things very predictably. They grow. Wars grow. If you predict these three things, you'll sound like Nostradamus. Wars grow. They grow unpredictably. and they last longer than people expect, right? But this war in particular is meant to last and to grow. So, you know, it's rest assured, you know, when I'm asked, I was asked a couple of weeks ago if I thought that this, Catherine Austin Fitz asked me if I thought that this, the kinetics would restart with Iran. And I said, I was on an interview with Coffee and Mike, and I said,
he's great.
100%. 100%, I said. And then I said, well, let me basically back that off to, you know, you got, nothing's 100%. You know, let's hedge my bets. 99.9, right? Somewhere between 99.9% and 100%, kinetics was resumed with Zionist and Iran. And now look, see, they're going hotter than they've ever gone. And I think they're going to go much, much hotter. I think you're going to see the Gulf states like Kuwait eventually taken completely offline. Qatar, I think you'll see these taken completely offline. Those are synthetic countries. They were made by the British Empire to control that area. So I think you're going to end up seeing another cascading dam attack, possibly up in Turkey. Ataturk Dam is massive on the Euphrates River. That affects Turkey, of course, but it also affects Iraq. It goes right down the Euphrates River. In fact, Saddam threatened to blow up the Ataturk Dam as they were building it, and he didn't do it.
It really is all about, you know, having this asymmetrical warfare. That's what I'm hearing from this. It's all asymmetrical. And, you know, a country like Israel could say, oh, we're going to blow up this dam and get that war with Turkey that we want after wiping out a large part of the region. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. You could cause a cascade. You know, these cascading attacks. I first learned about cascading dam failures when I was in sabotage training in Special Forces. And some of the Special Forces team, they practice on American dams. And because there's dams in America that can be caused to cascade, what happens is, let's say one of the top dams goes down, that whole reservoir dumps and tops the next dam downriver. So that one dumps after you start getting a big flood over the top of a dam, the dam typically collapses, right? So then you can get a just cascade right on through there. So there was U.S. Special Forces teams training on those dams. I didn't do it. We trained on other stuff over in Europe, actually. And engineers would give us tours of dams and that sort of thing. We would go out with German engineers and they would give us tours. You know, this is what you do. You know, this is how you take out our turbines and the other things. But anyway, but the point is cascading dam effects are there was a cascading dam. You might want to pull it up from several decades, about probably 1950s or 60s, the cascading failure in China. And it included maybe roughly 65 dams or so, wow, something along those lines. And it took out, you know, Chinese say it took out like 28,000 people, but it may have been more like 250,000. Nobody knows, but it was cascading dams took out five dozen dams plus five dozen and some change. And so that, there you go. You get those upstream failures. Now you could do that in Turkey. You can certainly do that with Ethiopia over on that side without even destroying GERD Dam. That's why I checked the engineering. I was curious how much of that outflow, comes out of the GERD Dam built into it. There you go. 1975. And so, you know, there was that dam and there was, they called it the Iron Dam, like it was the Titanic and couldn't break. Anyway, you shouldn't name things like that because, you know, it's like
famous last words,
creating failure.
Yeah.
It's like creating failure. You know, one engineer said, you know, why he's so against names like that, like Titanic or Iron Dam, is because it creates a sense of, you know, we got this, you know, we built it right and there's nothing can happen to it. And boom, you put the wrong something in and the thing's gone. Well, that dam, but you know, Three Gorges could do that as well. Keep in mind, again, China wants to build a dam three times bigger than Three Gorges and probably the most dangerous place in the world to build a dam. But let me go back to Iraq real quick, because Iraq is part of the Greater Israel Project. There's also a cascade up on Mosul. I first wrote about Mosul Dam in about 2006. But so that's on the Tigris. You got the Ataturk is on the Euphrates. Of course, the Euphrates and the Tigris, Mesopotamia, Babylon and all that, goes right through Iraq. And, Israel has wanted to, let's say the Zionists is more accurate, wanted to control and destroy Iraq for a long time. That's how they've been using the United States. And, you know, to do that, to affect that. And the, taking out those two cascades from the Euphrates and through Tigris rivers, that'd be devastating for Iraq. And that would, you know, go right into the Greater Israel Project. And of course, if you look at the Baghdad to Berlin Railway in the past, there you go. There's Greater Israel. You see right there on the Iraq side down there, that's right by the Euphrates River is that border of where they want that. Now, keep in mind that, you know, the border of the Greater Israel Project. And you look over at the Egypt side there. Look at that. You see, they want control of the Bab el-Mandeb there and control, obviously, of the Suez and that general region. That's the major. Now, going over to Morocco, that's the Strait of Gibraltar, right? Ceuta, that big float of migrante, the migrants, the so-called migrants that just invaded into Spain. That's at the, if you look up where Ceuta is, that's the Pillars of Hercules, the Strait of Gibraltar. I went there about 5 years ago, went to Ceuta. Actually, I went to the Morocco side, right to the sort of border of Ceuta. And, you know, so if you want to control the Strait of Gibraltar, you're going to do that. You're going to take Ceuta. You're going to take and have, you know, big influence or even control over Morocco. There is a big information war going on. We could talk about Morocco some other time, but, you know, a huge amount, 70% of the world's phosphate reserves come from Morocco, and a huge amount, or at least the reserves are there. You know, Iraq has a huge amount of phosphate, but they haven't been producing phosphate in a long time now since our first war and our economic sanctions. Iraq doesn't, you know, doesn't export that huge phosphate anymore. Think about that. So these things that are going on, there's a lot more than just, you know, oil or that sort of thing. There's the phosphates. There you go. Strait of Gibraltar right there. That's one of the main choke points. So if you get control of that one, which can be done, you know, in 1415, you know, the Portuguese sailed around the corner and hit Ceuta, right? And then they used Ceuta as a base to explore Africa.
Anyway, and there's that place where all the footage of the migrants is coming out of, Ceuta, or however you pronounce it. It's right there on that critical waterway. And we look at all these regions like you're talking about where there's this defined foreign interest. If they're able to take control of it, or, you know, if we're technically able to take control of it, I really think it's more of them. That's kind of the excuse of the imperialists. They say, oh, we have to do it. We have to establish a control of these critical regions. And I think the Iran war is kind of in a sick way, and I don't agree with that, proving that point as to where it's just more escalation. It's going to be territorial land grabs. Based on what you've seen, what are they doing in the 2 minutes we have left to take control of these regions?
Well, like you said, Ceuta. Some people call it Ceuta. Some people call it Ceuta. I went there Ceuta. 5 years ago because that's so important. Well, some people call it Ceuta. Some people call it Ceuta. And so, but I went there again like 5 years ago with Chuck Holton. Actually, we went there and we were looking at it. We're checking it out. This is going to be a big deal. There you go. So to control that, first of all, you need to take out Spain and disrupt Spain. Of course, Spain is erupting now. Of course, now you see Netanyahu, Malyakovsky, he is saying that, you know, since Spain has been bad boys and they won't, you know, support us attacking and doing genocide in Gaza and Lebanon and won't, you know, support our war against Iran, which is actually global, then, you know, Israel is going to do such and such. But actually, this is a war that goes back centuries. Malyakovsky's dad wrote a book about the Inquisitions in Spain. I've got it right here. And he talked about how, you know, how badly the Jews were treated there in Spain and all that, doing the professional victim thing, right? So they set the information conditions first, as you know, InfoWars. First, you set the information battle space. Information battle space is absolutely vital, right? So what would you do? Your question was, what would you do to do these things? I would try to control, Strait of Gibraltar, and I would do it, right? I would go for the Turkish Straits. Very important. I would go for Suez. Bab el-Mandeb, Hormuz, Malacca, Sunda, Lombok, especially Malacca. And I would go for Panama, of course, Danish Strait, and also for Falklands. I mean, Falklands makes sense. And you also want Patagonia. So a lot of Zionists are moving to Patagonia. Now, China has a military base down there, too, right? Or they've got a satellite or they've got a space station down in Argentina. And I talked with members of the Argentinian government about that when I was down there. And, you know, they talked about how China has an exclusion zone. You can't get anywhere near that space station. Interesting, huh? And sometimes I wonder if it's China. Interestingly, members of the Argentinian government told me that China just negotiates directly with the states in Argentina. Anyway, you would want to control, you know, all these major choke points. That's a big, big deal. If you can control the major choke points, I mean, you're halfway there, at least, but probably more.
Powerful information. Stay with us. Getting into breaking news on Iran. The Iran War, Michael Yon, coming up next.
I want to make a massive announcement right now, and I'm so blown away by this. This is the most exciting thing, quote, supplement-wise, I've ever done in decades in my career, in my research, okay? Now, decades ago, we looked at selling you methylene blue. The problem is you couldn't get pharmaceutical grade. It was something nobody knew about. Now, because the world's awakened to it, there's a bunch of pharmaceutical grade makers of it. My doctor's medical doctor at clinics all over the state said, you need to get on methylene blue, told me how to buy it online, said, be sure to get USP, which means pharmaceutical grade. I take it here and there. Feels like you're plugged into electricity. It gives you, really clean energy. And I thought, yeah, this is great. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the HHS head. He talks about how great it is. He takes a whole bunch of it. So we've had the new methylene blue in, now available at thealexshowstore.com, for about a week. And I already had mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's all USP. I'm sure it's great. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll remember to take, mine, which is another brand my doctor recommended. And then yesterday at about 3 o'clock, I'm watching him shoot B-roll for our new methylene blue that's from one of the top makers in the United States that supplies the big box stores that have it and sell it for $10 more than we do. It's a big bottle, too. Ultra Methylene Blue, the highest grade strength USP. I take a dropper and put it in my iced tea. I drink it. And I'm not a placebo guy. I'm like, okay, I'm taking methylene blue before. I figure, the one my doctor told me to get, I'm sure, we'll see if it's this good. 15 minutes later, I feel my hair on my body standing up, and I feel actually an electric current through my fingers, in my hands, and running up my back. And I start itching, and I go take my shirt off and look at the mirror because I'm itching, and my skin wasn't like hives. It wasn't a rash. My skin turned red. Not bright red, but red. I already got, I tan easily. It's a little bit of Native American in me, so I've always got a little bit of a tan. Anyways, even if I'm not getting sun, I'm still a little bit of a tan. But it was like, I was like glowing. I was like, what the? And Chase guy was like, yeah. And he looks like a mad scientist. Like, I've been taking a lot of it. His hair's like, ah. And I'm like, okay. And then I swear, just swear to God, I'm just saying, I swear on my children, okay? Do not take the full dose, because I drank half the glass, put it down, was busy, forgot to drink the rest, and didn't drink the other half. I was still sitting there this morning, because I'm sitting around here doing work when I drank it. And it's insane. So it would take hours to go into why it's so amazing. And later in the broadcast, I'll cover the big news. I'm gonna go over it, but it is just beyond spectacular. And by the way, we're gonna have one that comes out that isn't flavored. The guys thought it was great. It's all natural, organic. Just pure vanilla and mint from the mint plant, oil, essential oil in it. So it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes good. This is the purest, strongest, and the only one out there that has natural, delicious flavoring in it. We got the best methylene blue, hands down. I was already told it was the top firm that supplies the medical centers. Where it's not prescription, but doctors everywhere have been telling people to get on it for years. And there was so many attacks and systems on it. I just, we're a big target. I'm like, but as soon as HHS came out, had endorsed it and all this stuff, and it's everywhere now. I'm like, okay, get us the best. And we got it. And boy, I tell you, if we can get enough of it, it's going to solve our issues. Funding, will they be able to expand? A third of what we got just sold out in the last hour. So I had a feeling about this because I told you what it did, and that's all true. So I've taken other methylene blue and it had a good effect. This other stuff that says it's USP, that means pharmaceutical grade, must not be. This is unbelievable. Get your ultra methylene blue now at thealexshowstore.com while you can.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
I want to remind everybody, repost, share the links, tell other people what you're watching because they need to know this critical information. In the last segment, we were talking about hydraulic warfare and also these critical choke points where, you know, you blow up a dam, you kind of blow up multiple countries and civilizations. But moving on into the news of today regarding the Strait of Hormuz, U.S. Forces struck three Iranian oil tankers after Navy warships were targeted with ballistic missiles, the American military said Saturday, warning that it could, if necessary, destroy Iran's limited and exposed oil fleet. Netanyahu has also made threats. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Milikovsky issued a fresh warning to Iran on Sunday, saying Tehran would face a devastating response if it attacks Israel, as he was vowed to complete the mission of toppling the Iranian regime. That regime in Iran, its end is near, Netanyahu said at a government Rosh Hashanah toast in Jerusalem, according to a translation from Hebrew. It is weak. It is fighting for its life. It is faltering. There is another mission to complete. We are determined to achieve it. That sounds pretty scary. I will ask you about that in a second, but I want to recap with the third story, which is in response to all of this. Iran has announced it will implement a new restricted zone outside the Strait of Hormuz in the coming days, starting from the U.S. Navy's blockade line into areas of the Persian Gulf. Iran says any ship that enters this new zone will be placed in Iran's sanctions list, and vessels acting without coordination with Iran will face consequences, including insurance problems, later transit issues, fines, detention, and cargo confiscation. Iran says this is the first change in Iran's approach to the Strait of Hormuz since the war started, extending Iran's enforcement zone beyond the strait itself. So we got ships on fire. We got Iranian ballistic missiles fired at our own Navy. We've got Netanyahu making this threat about another mission to complete. They're determined to achieve it. And then we've got Iran's new policy on the Strait of Hormuz. Michael Yan, what's your view on all these stories?
Well, the war is meant to increase. I mean, it's not going to go down. And the Zionists don't care about the Israelis. They want to ethnically cleanse many of the Israelis as well. And they're working on it with the jabs and everything else. It's a highly drugged up culture as well there in Israel. For those who've been there, you know what I mean. And you can see, for instance, the Israelis are off in Thailand doing their normal thing. Thais are ready to kick every single one of them out, right? And so they're doing the same thing over in Argentina, starting fires and that sort of thing. They are doing a global school shooting. I mean, they're going for it, right? And the global arsonist. And so this is all intentional. It's not going to just go away. It's not going to happen. So again, the Israelis, let's say actually more accurately, the Zionists, they're using Israel as a staked goat. I mean, it's staked anyway, but as a staked goat attack. And a staked goat means you stake a goat as bait and then you hit what comes to get it, right? So this is Israel as a perfect staked goat. But it was also, remember, Israel was created to get control of Suez Canal and other routes and resources. That's why it was created by the British Empire. Israel was created by the British, and then finally the U.S. got deeply involved, of course, because we were knocking the British Empire out of the saddle. So this was like hermit crabs changing shells, you know, as Great Britain started to wither. Well, it started to wither because of withering attacks, right? And so finally the United States basically has been taking their hermit crab shell. But again, that Falklands and all that plays a part in shutting down the lights on Great Britain. So what you're going to see here in Iran, of course, it's unpredictable. Nobody knows on the tactical level what's going to happen. But what's happening on the grand strategy level is quite obvious. Now, keep in mind, you got the tactical level, which is the mud. And you can get mired up in the mud and talking about tactics and all this stuff all day long. And it's actually at the end of the day, it's ephemeral. It's kind of useless at the end. It's important if you're in it. It's important for some levels of analysis. But at the end of the day, it's mud. Now you get to the strategic level, which is the highest level that most of the generals will talk about. And I don't see any generals talking about the grand strategy level. So a lot of other people get mired in the strategic level, right? Which is what this is, talking about closing the Strait of Hormuz. But if you really want to simplify it, you go to the grand strategic level. That's the big overarching plan. The strategic level is basically the tactics of grand strategy. And tactics is, you know, the tactics of strategy. And so the day-to-day nuts and bolts, the plumbing and the electricity, you know, the plumbing and the electricity, that's the tactics, right? But let's say the plumber is the tactician. The plumber is like your special operations forces. They're basically super ultra plumbers, right? And, uh, So, but on the grand strategy level, you can see, what's going on is there's certain groups trying to control the world, which is stuff that, you know, your father has talked about for years and you're talking about it now. And there's people that want to control all these routes and resources. It is nothing new. It's the great game writ large, or as the Russians call it, the tournament of shadows. It is just that same thing. It's not even, in some ways, it's not even patterns repeating. Insofar as the war, because the wars never actually end. It is patterns repeating. I should restate that. But it's not like the wars end and then they start again and end and start again. They ebb and flow is more accurate. Like the river keeps flowing. The war river is always flowing, but sometimes you get an actual flood. Like what's happening now is another flood. World War II was a flood, right? World War I was a flood. And so these were, and there's been a lot of them. Our Civil War was part of the same war, by the way. Our Civil War and the wars across Europe, part of the same war. Mao's wars, same thing. It's all related directly, not indirectly, but directly. Why I'm sitting here in Japan, you know, almost 60 Japanese cities were firebombed in World War II, and two more were hit with atomic weapons, right? That was ethnic cleansing is actually what that was, to get control of Japan's routes and resources. That's where I'm at now is Japan. So, I mean, we had totally mapped out Japan in advance, had infiltrated their leadership and that sort of thing, had a lot of their brightest students going to school over in America. You know how that turns out. And had people mapping every square inch out over here, physical and political and anthropological, right? Mapped it all out. So these towns that were, you know, like Tokyo is not far from me. Tokyo might be getting flooded right now, actually. But Tokyo was firebombed and about 100,000 people were killed, 16 square miles burned. And that was all about getting control of and taking control and invading and getting control of the routes and resources in Japan. That's all that it was about. Nothing more. It wasn't about, you know, Pearl Harbor. That's absolute nonsense. Our Navy in Pearl Harbor was a staked goat. Our Navy was put there as a staked goat. It was that attack was provoked by us it took years to provoke Japan to do that. Japan was desperate not to do it. They were very open about
it. Weren't they under sanctions? And didn't they have to decide to make that decision based off of having to start the war with the U.S. Then before they got into an either further weakened position? Am I wrong on the history on that?
No, you're right. We cut off their rubber. We cut off their oil. We cut off their tin. And also the Dutch were involved in cutting off petroleum from Indonesia and the British, of course. And Canadians were involved. And so we all cut off their resources. We were strangling Japan. And Japan's like, hey, we're burning through our petroleum here. And so some of the Japanese were like, still, let's don't do it. But others were you know what's interesting, too? If you look at the American literature about Japan from the 1800s up into the war, it was very pro-Japanese. And then comes the war with Japan, and it's dun, dun, dun. You know, the Japanese are the worst people on earth, that sort of thing. And then as soon as the war was over, they were actually making Japanese look good again in our news, which actually anybody who's ever traveled to Japan before World War II and through the 1800s, I've read so much of it. They all loved Japan in the 1800s, early 1900s. I've got one book from the 1930s here. It's an American traveling around Japan. He loves it, right? And then we get the war going on. Oh, they're the worst people in the world. Then the war's over. Everybody loves Japan again. So, that's how effective information war is. So you got, you know, America got riled up from Pearl Harbor because otherwise they never would have wanted to attack Japan. It would have been hard to get imagine how any of the soldiers and let's say sailors and Marines and all that are on our Navy ships over in the Strait of Hormuz must, if they're very educated on this topic, how they must think and feel being on those ships, knowing that they are little fungible, disposable cogs in a wheel. And that's all they are. I mean, they are out there. I mean, I think the Zionists, they were probably, you know, because basically those are Zionist aircraft carriers right now, right?
Right.
So you could actually say that, you know, the Iranians allegedly just fired on the USS Zionist, right? The aircraft carrier over there. But our Navy sailors in there and any soldiers and Marines that might be on board, They they're state goats, and they are just cogs. They're fungible. They're disposable. And this is a war that our entire military is completely, I would strongly expect a new draft. I would strongly expect at some point that women be drafted. And people say, no, that's where I'll draw the line. No, you won't. No, you won't. You didn't draw the line when the border was wide open, right? If you're going to draw the line, it needs to be drawn right now, right? Like right now, because with Great Britain, it's too late. They're gone. Misako and I, we went in that giant mosque in London. We went all over the place. We went all over Ireland. We were up in Northern Ireland and also down in Dublin and that sort of thing, Republic of Ireland. We go to countries all over the world looking at this. They've waited too late in many of these places. Too late. There's no way you get out of this without severe bloodbath and famine. So you got to be, otherwise, this is your fate ahead. And you and your dad have talked about this for a long time. The fate ahead is you'll be completely controlled. First of all, most people will be genocided, right? And those who are not genocided will be controlled with all these cameras and all the ways we're tracked and the methods that we can be genocided with, fire, lasers or whatever they're doing, and floods, fires, famine, diseases, death jabs. I mean, there's still people pushing the death jabs. They're about to roll out another iteration of those death jabs. But another major weapon system is just music, so-called music, and intoxicants. I mean, those two right there, right? That's the dumbing down agents that allowed us to get to the point where most of the men will just go, oh, well, somebody else will solve it for me. I'll vote for Trump. Trump will save me. So many people, they said, well, I've voted for Trump. I've done my duty. I can go back to watching the big screen football on Sunday at Hooters or something, right? So, the dumbing down process, dumbing and numbing has been severe, right? And so it's going to pick up. The war is going to continue, and it's going to – I think eventually you're going to see the Turkish Straits close. I think you're going to see Suez come under the control or be closed by the Zionists. And Bob al-Mandeb, the Houthis are doing a good job. It makes me wonder who they're really working for, actually. It could be either one, because the Zionists want it closed. And if Iran's under attack, they're going to want it closed, right? So, both of those would want it closed at that point. So, again, this is going to grow. I think you're going to see the Strait of Malacca go closed. I think you'll end up seeing Thailand in war, by the way. And that's important, very important. And I talk with Thais all the time. I wrote the last two pages in one of the prime minister's book over there about, the name of the book is called The Simple Truth by Prime Minister Abhisit. Anyway, but the bottom line is it's global. To understand this, it's taken me many years of traveling around the world, up to Tibet, around China, around all over the place. Over 100 countries I've traveled studying. At first, I wasn't studying this. I kind of faded into it. At first, I thought I was studying war. Then you kind of move up the ladder on your understanding. And finally, you can get to the point where you can actually start to predict things. And that's when you start to have that confidence of what's coming next, what might come next, what's likely to come next. But again, what's likely to come next, I think you'll end up seeing eventually Egypt will get taken out. Let me have a sip of water. I'm fasting. Today is day 6 of my mouth gets dry. Plus, you should talk more. I'm talking too much.
No, that's awesome. I really appreciate it. I was going to wrap it there. You gave a really high-level explanation of what's going on and really the greater threats that are posed beyond just the closure of Strait of Hormuz or, just the regional Iran conflict, the Iran war. We're looking at all these critical choke points that the Zionists are flooding to, that, America military power is flooding to, and it's a very stark reality, and thank you for explaining that to the audience. Michael Yon, where do people find you?
Substack is the best on Substack. And I put up videos on YouTube, but Substack by far is the best. That's where I predicted in advance in July, of 2025 that what would happen now in Hormuz is happening and many other things I put on Substack, like the screw worms 5 years in advance of what's happening now. The screw worms coming to Texas. I was publishing that in 2021, right? That these things were going to be back in Texas. And, and I was publishing that from Panama. Or I picked up that scent trail. By the way, I think the Darien Gap will open again. I think you're going to end up seeing war down in the Darien Gap. I don't know if it'll be obvious war. I mean, it'll be certainly some guerrilla stuff. But our troops are everything's getting into place. for conflict down there, Colombia/Panama.
Well, you definitely have the track record and the experience to back up what you're saying, both as a futurist and a journalist and more. Thank you so much, Michael Yon, for joining the program.
Thanks, Rex. I really appreciate it. And 100%. Y'all have a great day.
You too, man. Stay safe out there. Really appreciate you. Michael Yon, ladies and gentlemen, find his Substack, find his X, find his YouTube, and go and support him right now. One of the great titans of this network. Really enjoy having him on always as a contributor. And you got to check out his predictions, because that guy is, like my dad always says, dead on accurate. Michael Yon is dead on accurate. And talking to somebody like him who's able to explain the second, third, fourth, fifth order effects of, you know, what we're engaged in now, you talk to somebody here in America, they don't even know what half those words mean. But Michael Yon is able to break it down in a very eloquent, descriptive, and very blunt way of what we're facing right now. I mean, the hydraulic warfare, I'm going to have to do a ton more research into that. You think about these dams, China's trying to build a dam three times larger than Three Gorges on top of like multiple giant fault lines. This is the type of stuff we're going to face going into the future. And he also gave a very high level breakdown of why the Greater Israel Project is so important for the U.S.-Israeli empire to control all these critical choke points and to wage geographical and hydraulic warfare much greater than Iran just closing the Strait of Hormuz. And can we avoid that future? Can we not roll the dice and bet the house and try to win $5? And that's what all this stuff is. Americans, people around the world, we just want to live in peace. We want to live in good societies. But there are always evil elites who will try to control us through economic warfare, through literal warfare, through expanding geopolitical crises, and things like COVID, things like the clot shot, the vaccine, so much more. This is why it's so critical to have the knowledge, because knowledge is power and the pen is mightier than the sword. And you have that pen in your hand right now. It's time to share the broadcast. People need to know what you know today. Send the clip, share live feed, whatever you're going to do. It's all available on the Alex Jones account on X, Real Alex Jones, also available at AJ and Live. I highly encourage all of you guys to do that. And I'm going to remind you again, today is the Labor Day sale, 40 to 50% off site wide. You order something, anything, you're going to get a free bottle of Ultimate Sea Moss Gummies. We used to call it the Ozempic of the sea. That's not a drug claim. It's a dietary supplement. But if you want the Ozempic of the sea, so to speak, go ahead and get that with the amazing iodine, the amazing antioxidant, immune system potential, energy and bone strength, so much more compatible with all types of diets as well. The Ultimate Sea Moss Gummies, a classic, a huge hit. And here's the cool thing. Buy yourself a new hat, a new t-shirt that you've wanted for a while. You get this product, you're involved in the info war, you give it to a friend, a family member, somebody you know from work, an acquaintance, somebody that you like, whatever you're going to do, give them that product and say, hey, I've been buying products from the Alex Jones store for decades, and they've been working for me like a charm. I want you to do the same thing. Support independent media, support broadcasting, and beyond anything, just get a really, really, really high quality product that's going to improve your life. Supplements are all the rage, one of the biggest growth sectors in the economy over the past 20 years for a reason. When people take this, they feel better. They feel better because of the mineral deficiencies. They feel better because they need iodine. They feel better because it's a high quality product with antioxidant potential, something like methylene blue, massive antioxidant. These things are so powerful because they improve mitochondrial efficiency. They get rid of free radicals, oxidative stress. Of course, talk to your doctor about all these things. Ultramethylene red, what a great invention. What a great invention we have there. That's got all sorts of ingredients like the CoQ10 that's so critical and so much more. Vitamin matrix, so many more other cofactors in that as well. That's Ultra Methylene Red. I'll plug the two products that I invented, Methyl Drive and Power Plant. Methyl Drive has the CoQ10, the PQQ, the magnesium, the methylated B12, so essential for redox potential, so essential for antioxidant potential, so essential for helping your mitochondria. PQQ increases mitochondrial biogenesis. That means you make more healthy mitochondria, and if you have an injured one, it fuses with a healthy one, and they have their own mitochondrial DNA, so they're able to repair and heal themselves. That's verified. Look that up. Look up what PQQ does. Look up what CoQ10 does. Look up what magnesium does in its ideal form, which is going to boost over 300 critical enzymatic processes throughout the body. Go get yourself some Methyl Drive. Get yourself some Power Plant. It's got ingredients in there. I call it the new improved super male vitality. It's got the critical minerals like zinc, like boron, like selenium to, if you're deficient, raise your free testosterone and total testosterone. If you're deficient, it creates a massive deficit in your testosterone, and most people in the West are. Get that Power Plant also with cordyceps mushroom, boost ATP, boost oxygen carrying capacity, boost antioxidant potential. It's a nootropic as well. Combined with Rhodiola roja, one of the original adaptogens studied by the Russians and given to their Olympic athletes, boosts dopamine, norepinephrine, lowers cortisol, so many other effects from lowering the cortisol as well. Your wife will thank you. I guarantee, go to thealexjonesstore.com. You will not find a product on there that isn't the best, that isn't high quality, because we take all the same products that you do. We want to be treated as you want to be treated, as patriots, as Americans, as people that believe in God. We would never sell you a bad product. So if you want to go to thealexjonesstore.com, you're going to get that free bottle of CMOS gummies, spend $99, get free shipping and beef tallow, spend $125, get a free mystery hat. That's a cool deal. Spend over $249, you get a free mystery dagger with every order. That's 40 to 50% off on everything, including our bovine colostrum, methylene blue, and T3 atomic iodine. Do not wait. The sale ends Monday night. We got those tiers. We got the discounts. We got the deals. We got everything you need at thealexjonesstore.com, and I encourage you to check it out. If you want to see more of me, I'll be live on my own profile doing Gray Area Talks tonight. If you want to see the debate I did on Word War Debate, I highly encourage you to go watch that debate and vote for whoever you think won. It would be not nice and not right for me to just say vote for me. I want you to go watch my debate. Is the Iran war beneficial to America? My opponent took the pro. I took the anti. I think I did a phenomenal job proving that facts beat debate bro tactics. I highly encourage you, and I respect my opponent as well, Jose Tejeda, who did a good job with his system, but the system's not good enough when you deny the facts on the ground. So go ahead and watch that and vote for whoever you thought won. That is Word War Debate. And go ahead and subscribe to them as well, because I'll be doing plenty of stuff with them in the future. Now, as we kind of rest here at the end of the show, I want people to start the week thinking about securing their family, securing what's important to them, what really matters. And, you know, we got to inform our neighbor. We got to educate our neighbor. That's why I say share a live link, share the feed. That's so important. My dad has a critical report that's about to drop. I'm going to intro it in the next segment, but he just did some interesting stuff combating AI. He's out there on the street. He's got a phenomenal report that he just filmed out in the wild. We're about to be releasing that live to you guys. I love my dad. Everything we do here is so classic, man. Like, there's no management structure. There's no nitpicky. There's nobody running around. Nye. We just do what the viewers and listeners have expected for decades, which is the highest quality alternative media, alternative journalism in the world. Words like content to me are a slur. Words like influencer to me are a slur. Everyone here, every single crew member is a philosopher, an engineer, a technician, a journalist. Like that's what we are. That's what we do. A pundit, you name it, whatever. We wear many hats here, but we always wear the hat of the truth. And that's what we try to bring to you guys. We always criticize ourselves first and foremost and try to analyze more information. Go ahead and show the desk again. Look at all the stacks of news that I have here. This is just one day. This is just one day of news. And this is from my dad's last show, although I've covered many of the things and topics here. We review the information in mass level every single day, and we bring you the facts on the ground. We bring you the information, and that's what informs our opinion on who we support as a political candidate. That's what informs our opinion on what we believe is best for America, best for the world. And that's incumbent on you as well. That's why we bring it to you in this digestible format. Always be doing your own research. Always be checking. Always be doing what you need to do to become a more informed, more educated, and more powerful American, because they're counting on you to watch the movies. They're counting on you to watch the porn. They're counting on you to eat the bad food. Choose what's difficult. Choose what's best for America. Choose what's best for your family, your children, and your children's children's future. And I think we do a great job of that here on this network, which is why everyone should share the show to everyone they know, and everyone should buy the amazing products that are available at thealexjonesstore.com. We're going to be playing that special report in just a moment. And I've listened to it. It involves AI, involves self-driving cars, and involves my dad carpooling with Grok and so much more. You're really going to enjoy that when it plays. And if you want to find more of me, that's Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. I highly encourage you to follow me there. I got so much exciting stuff coming up. We got a conference with Joe Ken on the 12th. I've got an event I'm about to do coming next up to the 10th. And then on the 20th, I got my big debate, the final showdown with Andrew Wilson. Maybe not final, do more. But check me out, Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. Stay tuned, stay updated, and stay in charge of your own life. Be empowered by what you know.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
That man is fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
I'm not going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!